We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe. And I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show.
A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine does it again!
Crossover. Love it.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm here with Jason Pett. As always, we're brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. Got a lot of exciting things going on in the network. A new podcast from the gods, Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe, called A Touch More. That's going to be really awesome. We're also brought to you by betonline.ag. Jason, what's going on, man? We got no more Last Dance to talk about, but we still have some fallout from the Last Dance. And the Last Dance news cycle, I think, has been like one of the most active things in sports.
Yeah.
During the pandemic. This week, we got sort of the Jerry Reinsdorf media tour, which happened after the conclusion of the Last Dance, when in the final like 10 minutes of the last episode, while everything leading up to that sort of focused on Jerry Krause being the main villain, finally there was like some onus put on Reinsdorf. And we saw Reinsdorf try to like spin the premature end of the dynasty, saying that, you know, Steve Kerr, Tony Kukoc, Scottie Pippen, a lot of the players were going to be free agents to be, and that they were basically going to price themselves out of, you know, what the Bulls wanted to pay them to bring them back, coming off the, you know, three straight championships. Jordan then appears on the documentary, of course, and says, you know, it eats at me every day that we'll never know if we could have won seven. So Jerry Reinsdorf's response to that has been talking to a bunch of reporters. He talked to Casey Johnson. He talked to Ramona Shelburne at ESPN. He talked to Darnell Mayberry at The Athletic. And Jerry gave some pretty interesting quotes.
He did. Yeah, he's definitely he was very defensive, kind of like he clearly, because he even said in the KC one, it started, I think Ramona's dropped like right after, and that was first. And that one talked a lot about Phil and about how Phil just like wasn't going to come back. And then there was a bit about Jerry Krause and how like, and one of the main things he said there was that he's like, I'd never made a choice between Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson. It's like, well, I feel like that's one of the problems here, Jerry. Like, you never made that choice. You just kind of like tried to get them like back together. But anyways, the KC one was really funny because like that one dropped, I think, later on Monday after that last episode. And he basically said he was mad. He was upset about just Jordan's like reaction and saying that, oh, like that we would have come back, that everyone would have come back. We would have taken like, which was Jordan mentioned, like, oh, we would have taken 1 year deals. Like even Pippen would have done it. And let me pull up the exact quote. He was definitely just like upset. He was like, I was not pleased. How about that? Basically was the answer to KC about that. And he went on, he's like, you know, like I had conversations with Michael then and, you know, private conversations, I'm going to keep those private. But like when we talked then, like, He's basically like, oh, like the feeling I got was that MJ didn't think we'd be a championship team like after that. And then so just all of that. And then obviously we talked about this after the Last Dance. He talked about the market value. And you mentioned that with like Pippen, Kerr, some of those free agents, the whole market value thing, which is like classic financial champs, hashtag Jerry Reinsdorf Bulls stuff. And then at the end, he said it with Darnell as well. He kind of said something similar to Darnell. He came out and said that they would not have won, even if they all came back. He came out and flat out said that they would not have won that seventh title. Just took it right off the board. Like, I have my own doubts about them winning that seventh title. I mean, we saw them. Jerry is right about how they kind of seemed gassed by the end of the 98 finals. They gutted that one out. It was tough. But to come out and say that that team, if Michael Jordan was back and if they would have brought back Pippen, to say that they definitely would not have won in that lockout shortened season, which probably would have helped them. They probably would have been maybe the batteries would have been recharged a little more. Like, I mean, I'm not totally sure, but maybe it would have. To say that they wouldn't have won was absolutely crazy. So a lot of it was just like Jerry just kind of covering his ass for how everything ended. And I know, like, I feel like it does not sit that well with me. Like, say whatever you want. Like, even I know some people like say, oh, the dynasty ended like in perfect fashion with MJ finishing that. But Zach Lowe then did he in his like his things that he likes weekly column that he has on Fridays. He was like, he said that basically his like exact words was that Jerry Reinsdorf sort of dishonored the championship team by basically not putting in enough of an effort to bring them back. And that he's like, oh, there's something noble in watching a champion, even if they fall short. Like, yeah, they ended on a great note, but even if they fall short, just to see them at least get that opportunity is great. And we didn't get to see that. And Jerry's just been on this whole media tour because Jerry never talks. So like this, getting all these quotes from him, it's like it's been really kind of surreal because we never really hear him talk about the current Bulls or anything like that. So he's been just going on this whole thing. So it was definitely kind of annoying. I wrote something at Bloggable. Go check it out. Kind of recapping all this stuff and some of these quotes about him kind of moving back into that villain role that Krause had been the punching bag for most of the Last Dance. And then it's been kind of turned to Jerry. And it was just definitely kind of annoying reading those quotes. And I guess it feels good to complain about Bulls management again.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that, you know, my main thing on this is still that Jordan was definitely the guy who wanted to come back the most, I think, right? And at the time, I think that, you know, I was a kid, but I bought into the fact that there was, you know, something to Jordan where he wanted to go out on top. I think that that was probably totally misplaced. Like, I don't think that was really accurate. Like, six wasn't good enough for Jordan. He wanted to keep going to see how many he could win. If you look at his basketball reference page, though, like, Jordan's play really declined in 98, at least in terms of, like, true shooting percentage and win shares. Now, obviously, Pippen was out for a lot of that year. Jordan had to carry such a huge load. He led the league in usage rate that year. He actually led the league in usage rate 96, 97, and 98, played all 82 games. So he had a lot of wear and tear on his body. I think that, you know, Jordan was starting to decline from his peak in 90.
Oh, yeah.
To me, there's no doubt about that. And then it's like, okay, so even if you have Jordan and Jordan's coming back and he's going to still be MJ and he's still going to be, you know, one of the greatest players in the league, still arguably the best player in the league in 99, who would have been there with him? I think that Phil was really ready for a break. And I think the Phil Krause relationship was just totally beyond repair. The same thing can be said times two for Scottie Pippen. I think there was no way Pippen was coming back. Pippen got something like a $60 million deal from Houston, I believe.
Yeah, the Bulls helped him out. They like did it instead of him just like signing, they did a sign and trade. It was like 5 years. I think he ended up getting almost $80 million with like incentive stuff. So they did help Pippen out there. So they at least did that.
So the question is like, would Pippen have returned to the Bulls for that contract? Now, the Bulls didn't want to give him that contract.
Right, yeah.
They felt like his body was breaking down. They weren't going to do it. But like, yeah, we talk about how it was a non-starter. Well, what was a starter for the Bulls? Like, you know, putting Dalibor Bagarić on the floor and rebuilding your team around Ron Mercer. So I really feel like Pippen most likely was going to be gone anyway. Like, where the Bulls really went wrong in this is that they should have renegotiated Pippen's contract when he was still performing at a high level in the mid-90s, like especially when MJ retired. I know that Reinsdorf is still paying Jordan his Bulls salary to play baseball, but that's where like a lot of the animosity really started to like reach a crescendo. And by 98, you know, Pippen had the famous quote. My favorite part of The Last Dance was when Pippen said, you know, I wasn't going to fuck up my summer.
Yeah.
by getting knee surgery in the summer. Like, instead, he waited to, you know, the season. Was that a knee surgery or was it?
I think it was like a foot surgery, ankle, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So I think there's just so much animosity between Pippen. So Pippen would have been most likely gone, I think. Now, like, a real owner could have just been like, screw it, we'll bring back Scottie Pippen, we'll pay him whatever he wants.
Right. I think, and yeah, just to interject here, like, because Reinsdorf said, like, no way he takes a 1-year deal. They could have offered him $14 million for one season to come back. He probably would not have taken that. But they, again, I don't even think they even, like, asked him. The way that Reinsdorf brought it up in all these interviews, like, it doesn't seem like they even asked him to come back on a 1-year deal at that money. But then, yeah, give Scottie a 5-year deal. The Rockets traded him 1 year later anyways. Like, if they were worried about the long contract, like, if you try the one more year and then it just doesn't work out, then just go trade him. Like, it's not like you couldn't have traded him, because the Rockets literally did it a year later and they traded him to Portland. It was the Bulls got, I think, what it was like, Roy Rogers and, like, I think a draft pick out of the Pippen sign and trade. So it's like, it's not like they really got anything anyways. So, like, you could have just given Pippen his money, and then you could have traded him down the line. Like, it's not like he would have been untradeable. Like, he still had some decent years left after that. So I feel like they definitely just did not try hard enough. They just, like, it was like a non-starter giving Pippen that money, which is kind of unfortunate, because I feel like that probably helped drive Jordan out. Even if I know Jordan had the thing where he wouldn't play for anybody but Phil, I feel like if there was, like, a better, I don't know, relationship, or if they would have let Michael pick a new coach, that maybe him and Pippen both would have come back. If they would have paid Pippen, they bring in somebody else, even if Phil wants to leave. Like, I feel like they probably could have at least run it back that way. Like, we'll never know that, obviously. Just, this is us yammering from the outside, but it just certainly seems like Reinsdorf and Krauss did not put, they wanted to start fresh. They knew that they'd still, like, rake in the money. They were still drawing big crowds, even during those shitty rebuild years, at least the first couple years. So they didn't want to pay all that money for a team that might not win, and they just kind of let it happen. They didn't just – it doesn't seem like they tried hard enough.
Now, kind of, here's what they could have done, though. Like, Krauss was obviously so obsessed with rebuilding. Like, he just loved being a scout, and he loved the idea of rebuilding. And I think partially because he loved the idea of getting credit for the team's success. Yeah. And that in Krauss's head, you know, if he somehow could have extended the dynasty – by trading Pippen and then, like, bringing in, let's say, T-Mac and Grant Hill or something.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, then the team doesn't miss a beat and is again, you know, competing for championships, then Krauss suddenly looks like even more of a genius. But why didn't they just try, like, a Band-Aid rebuild is the real question, where, like you said, you could have let MJ pick the coach. Okay, so Pippen's gone. That's fine. Like, go get Barkley. Like, Barkley changed teams too, right? Yeah. Or, you know, right in that timeline. And I saw something on Twitter.
He went to the Rockets.
Now, yeah. I was looking for it on Twitter. I can't find it now. But there was a quote where Barkley said that, like, he would have come to the Bulls for the minimum or for a smaller salary to play with Jordan. So, like, I think most likely Pippen would have been gone. And then Reinsdorf's thing where he was like, we'd have to rebuild the whole team. It wouldn't have been doable to build a championship team, turn over the roster. Well, I mean, the whole story of the Bulls dynasty is, like, there's Michael, there's Scottie, and then there's everyone else, pretty much. So why don't you think that Krauss, who supposedly is this brilliant scout with this brilliant eye for talent, couldn't have, like, picked out some veterans and rebuilt the team around Jordan, another veteran co-star, perhaps Barkley, and, you know, just let him make short-term rebuild moves instead of long-term rebuild moves. Now, Krauss never really seemed interested in the short-term rebuilding moves. I guess he did flip over the roster in the 2 years or the year and a half Jordan was away between the two three-peats, but he should have just tried to do it again. And you had Jordan, who, yeah, he basically barely got through the 98 playoff stretch. But if he wanted to come back, you obviously had the lockout. He obviously had the injury with the cigar cutter too. So all these are variables. But for Reinsdorf to say that there was no way the Bulls could have won another championship because they would have had to flip out, let's say, the fourth through, or even like the second through 10th best players on the roster, like, it would have been possible because you had Michael Jordan and you still had Tony Kukoc, who was really good in the 97 and 98 playoffs. He probably could have been you know, primed for a bigger role. That would have made Krauss look even smarter if Kukoc became, like, an all-star caliber player instead of just being a great sixth man. So I just wonder why that didn't happen. And, you know, there was just, like, no effort. I think that you really hit it on the head, where you said, like, Reinsdorf just didn't make a huge effort to keep the dynasty going. He didn't make any hard choices. And I think that that's really, really what happened.
Yeah. It's a shame. They clearly just were fine rebuilding. And there were some other great story, unfortunate stories. I brought this up in the bloggable article, but when you mentioned like Grant Hill, T-Mac, and Tim Duncan about, I think it was Corey Benjamin was, and that some other old beat writer was quoted talking about them going after those guys in like 2000. We all remember like the Love of Bulls and like Benny the Bull at the airport and all that stuff. But Corey Benjamin, I think, was shared an agent with, I can't remember who he shared an agent with, but he basically admitted that, or T-Mac told him, and like Jermaine O'Neal, I think, were another guy with the like, that the Bulls lowballed them and they were like resting on their laurels. I was like, we're the Bulls, like this legendary franchise. You should like, it should be an honor to come here to play. And it was just like, just classic stuff. It's just super annoying. Before we talk, I have some final last dance thoughts, some other Fallout stuff. Before that, let's take a quick word from our sponsor, BetOnline. There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, BetOnline. NASCAR's back, and BetOnline has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free. And live right now on BetOnline's YouTube channel, you'll find an exclusive interview with ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, Craig Hodges to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary and what they're calling the final dance. So visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. It's BetOnline, your online wagering solution. We're back. Cash Consideration, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Something we mentioned there on the ad read was that the BetOnline, the interview with guys like Horace Grant, Ron Harper. Please go check that out again. Horace Grant, for one, has been real, real salty and spicy with his criticism of MJ. He called him a snitch because obviously MJ kind of called him out for being the source for Jordan rules, and Horace has denied that. I think we know for a fact that there was a lot of people. There were Sam Smith's source. I think there were members of the coaching staff. There were other players. Certainly, Horace Grant did not deserve to be singled out like that. And Horace has been really pissed about that. He also did not like how Scotty was portrayed. That's been included in some of these interviews. And again, you'll see a lot. I mentioned Ron Harper, Bill Cartwright, Horace Grant. Some of these final thoughts. And it's been really interesting to see Horace Grant just kind of go off on Michael and how things went there. Do you have any quick thoughts on Horace Grant getting all spicy on us?
Oh my God, Horace's quotes are unreal. I was just looking at them for the first time, and yeah, I'm just going to read some of these because they're pretty wild if you haven't seen them already. This is a quote from Horace. Quote, I would say the documentary was entertaining, but we know who was there as teammates, that about 90% of it was BS in terms of the realness of it. It wasn't real because a lot of the things Jordan said to some of his teammates, that his teammates went back at him, but all of that was kind of edited out of the documentary, if you even want to call it that. Then he says, Jordan felt he could dominate me, but that was sadly mistaken. Grant said, because whenever he went at me, I went right back at him. But in terms of Will Perdue, Steve Kerr, the young man Scott Burrell, that was heartbreaking to watch, to see a guy, a leader, to go at those guys like that. I understand in terms of practicing, you have to push and shove here and there, but outright punching teammates and things of that nature, calling them B's and H's, that wasn't called for. And then there's another part where Horace says, lie, lie, lie. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle this like men. Let's talk about it. Or we can settle it another way. But yet and still, he goes out and puts this lie out that I was the source behind the Jordan rule. Sam Smith and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of the locker room, I would never put anything personal out there. The mere fact that Sam Smith was an investigative reporter, that he had to have two sources, two to write a book, I guess. Why would MJ just point to me? So Horace coming in real hot. I think that Jordan and Horace have beef for a lot of reasons. But man, Horace really defending himself in the face of MJ in a way you almost never see anyone call out Jordan like that. Like, everyone is so much respect for Jordan, but Horace just like really was treating him more like a guy than a god.
Yeah, there was one story that came out that like about Jordan, I think, was like stealing Horace's food. Like, it was something goofy like that, and Horace was like, no man, I would have whooped his ass if he would have done that, or something like that. Like, he was not having any of this. Because there were also, I think I mentioned this, that Horace said that he didn't like how Scotty was portrayed. There were reports out there that Pippen himself is not happy with how he's portrayed. Like, I guess I'm not really, obviously they did show the migraine stuff and like the 1.8 second stuff. They did leave out like the iconic the mailman doesn't deliver on Sunday. So like, there were some parts of it where I feel like maybe Scotty could be upset. I'm not totally sure why he would be like super mad, but clearly, according to reports, Pip was not happy. Horace came out and flat out said it. They didn't think Scotty was treated fairly in that. So it's just kind of interesting how some of this fallout and with some of the former players and guys like Horace Grant being mad, and who knows exactly what Pippen's feeling. Maybe he'll come out and say it, but I don't think he's come out publicly yet. I don't think I've seen any public comments from him yet on it, but there have just been reports out there that he was not upset or that he was upset. So very interesting. Obviously, Last Dance is now over, even though there's the fallout still coming. It was a great way to spend time during this pandemic, gave us plenty of content. But now let's look forward. There is a lot of talk about the season coming back. There has been some actual Bulls news in the last couple weeks, as the new front office of Arturis Karnisovas and Mark Eversley making some decisions on the staff. We found out that Jeff Tanaka, longtime trainer, is gone. He's been around since he was around when Fred Tedeschi cleared him. I think he kind of like took over his role. I can't remember exactly the roles there, but Jeff Tanaka, longtime guy in with the training staff, he is out. Obviously, the Bulls and their injuries has been a major talking point for years, and it's hard to say just like how much the training staff and all that can be blamed for injuries. Obviously, the Bulls had some very unique situations with Omer Asik's leg and Lou Alding's spinal tap and that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know how much blame should we put on Jeff Tanaka, and then I mean, recently there have been a lot of injuries in recent years as well. Hard to say, but they are clearly going to make a move there. There was also some moves on the player development. Sean Respert is gone. They are keeping around Nate Loanser, who is one of an assistant, and I believe he's the Windy City Bulls head coach. So he is saying he's an Iowa State guy, Ames Mafia right there. So like I said, a few changes on the coaching staff. We still don't know really anything about Jim Boylan's future. That might more be tied to when they can actually get back in the facility and have conversations. I do wonder if they're going to keep him around if the Bulls actually come back and play more games, which we will get into shortly here. But do you have any quick thoughts about any of these coaching staff or just the staff moves?
Well, I remember when Eversley was hired, one of the things he said was he couldn't believe they only had one guy in charge of player development. So that was Respert. You know, just like so, some of the reporting around that was really confusing. Like it basically said that Boylan made the decision to let go of Respert. Is that correct?
It was weird. Yeah, it was part of it, and then it was like Respert claimed that he was looking for something bigger. So they like Boylan decided to let him go and look for something bigger because it wasn't going to happen here. It was definitely very strange the way it was reported initially.
Yeah, so you know, I hope that like when we heard that there was going to be multiple hires within the front office, like we've gotten that for the Bulls so far, but there needs to be a lot more hires and a lot more investment within the organization, I think, before the Bulls can really start to turn it around. Player development's a huge part of that. They got to get a shooting coach. They have to have guys, you know, just be more specialized in terms of their focus. Like, I feel like half the NBA teams have psychiatrists on staff at this point, and, you know, teams just really have bigger staffs than the Bulls. So I think that the Bulls have always been sort of a small operation, and that they need to flush it out if they're going to, you know, rebuild this thing from the ground up. And I still think it's going to be a long haul, but, you know, most of what we've heard so far has been pretty encouraging. And I'm definitely ready for us to have some new stuff to talk about and for just like a new guys making the decisions for the franchise.
Absolutely. And as we move forward here, there has been a lot of movement on the possible return to play of the NBA season and possibly the return of the Bulls. I keep saying I really don't want the Bulls to come back. Like, I just want to like start fresh next season. But a lot of reporting over this Memorial Day weekend about the NBA making their push to return to action. Adrian Wojnarowski had a big report on Friday. Shams Charania at The Athletic had his own big report just about some of the ideas that they're throwing out and they're considering right now. It sure looks like it's going to be in Disney World. It looks like they're hoping that they can restart games, whether it's regular season or playoffs, in either mid-July, late July. I know Spencer Dinwiddie came out with a tweet saying, oh, he heard like July 15th with, obviously they'd have to do a training camp beforehand. And I believe they would like to make a decision probably next week. I think June 1st maybe early June. They're going to try to make a final decision there. They're having, obviously, conversations with Disney. They came out with an official statement yesterday about these conversations they are having with Disney World. Obviously, the NBA with Disney, there is a relationship there. It kind of makes sense there over Vegas. I understand why they're trying to do that. I'm still skeptical about how this is all going to work with the whole bubble thing. But again, it looks like they're definitely going to at least retry. We know there's just so much money on the line. But it looks like they're also considering some kind of interesting things. We've seen stuff talk about 70-game regular seasons, or like 70. Shams had like 72 or 76 games. We know that there's a lot of teams have a 70-game threshold for that local TV money. So that's kind of why they want to return. There's also some other options for the playoffs. They could either just jump in right now. We know that both conferences kind of have their playoffs set. There's like, obviously the East is basically set. The West does have a handful of teams that are like three and a half games out. And I know a lot like Pelicans fans and Blazers fans would like a chance to catch up to the Grizzlies, who have the eighth seed right now. Obviously, it's a unique situation. I personally think that they should just go right into the playoffs in mid-July and hold the normal playoffs. You can do all your best of seven series, but it sure seems like they want to do some type of regular season so that they can get this TV money. So, and then they're also talking about stuff like Playoffs Plus, where they have like play-in tournaments, which could potentially keep the Bulls alive. Because I know the NHL is doing their whole like 24-team playoffs, and I think it was Rob Schaefer at NBC Sports Chicago tweeted how like the Bulls right now have like the 24th best record in the league. So if the NBA did like a top 24 thing, the Bulls would be like the last seed. I really do not care to see the Bulls play again this season. I would like them to just fire Jim Boylan, start fresh, move forward to next season. But what do you think? Would you like to see the Bulls come back and play in like a play-in tournament or something like that? Like, what do you think of some of these ideas?
No, I don't want to see any more Bulls basketball. I never want to see Jim Boylan coach another game. So forget that. I think that there is a lot of like local TV money on the line, which is part of the reason why they've talked about like finishing out a certain number of regular season games, even if it's not 82, maybe all these teams come back and finish out up to like 77 games. But then the thought is that like maybe you're putting more people at risk by putting them in the bubble. So yeah, I would love to see them just jump straight into the playoffs. I think that the playoff plus format is pretty interesting. If you could make it smaller, like it doesn't need to be extended all the way to 24 teams, but that could be a good way to maybe experiment with, you know, the future of an in-season tournament, which could be another revenue stream for the league, just like from TV money that you could get out of that. But what I'm really curious about here is like how this is going to affect the 2020-2021 season and when the season's going to end. So if the games really start in mid-July, I don't think you're going to jump straight into the playoffs either way, right? Like you're either going to have a few regular season games or like more than a few, or maybe even like some preseason games. But then when's the season going to end is my biggest question, because in Shams's article, basically, they sent out a survey to all the GMs, and one of the questions was like, what do you think should be the latest possible day for the season to finish? Labor Day, September 15th, October 1st, October 15th, or November 1st? Dude, like, if the season's going till October 15th, it's crazy. If you're going to start on Christmas, like, these guys need a break. I'm sure that, like, a lot of the players already aren't thrilled with the idea of coming back, you know, just because of the safety concerns and also because they enjoy their off season. But clearly like the league needs money. The league is already like, I think doubled its line of credit, and they're reporting that they're losing, I think I read somewhere $1 million a day. Like whenever I read numbers like that about wealthy people, I always read it with a bit of skepticism, but like, there's no doubt if you just look at how many businesses around the country have been impacted by the pandemic, that I'm sure the league is like bleeding money. There's no doubt.
And the players want to get paid too.
The players want to get paid too. So, I don't know. It seems like there's really no easy answers for this still. I think that the league's going to try to come back, but man, can you imagine if like a few guys got coronavirus and then it spread to some more people? Like, it would really be a disaster. And I think that, it's Adam Silver's legacy on the line. And it's like the respect for the league as like being held up as this like progressive token within American sports. You know what I mean? And they're risking that by trying to return. And I get it. But I think there's still a lot of variables and there's a lot of questions with just trying.
I mean, there definitely is, because like Yeah, and especially, I mean, if they want to bring more teams back, like, that's just adding to the amount of people that you need in the bubble. You also have to consider the other people that, like, have to take care of the players. And I know they were reporting about how they're going to try to limit the amount of, like, players, like the traveling parties. But then, again, you need people to take care of the players and all these other staff members. And they've already kind of talked about how they don't think that, like, one positive test would shut things down. Like, they'll isolate the person, quarantine them. But what if you get a couple? What if there is, like, an outbreak in there? Like, I'm really curious, like, how they would handle that. Like, there are still just so many questions there. And, like, if they do actually come back for regular season games or, like, do, like, if I were the Bulls, like, you can laugh at them, like, oh, they don't really have, like, anybody that worth much of anything. Like, I wouldn't play anybody, like, worth a damn. Like, I'm going out and playing bums. Like, I'm playing, like, Adam Okoko and Shaq Harris in, like, 45 minutes, and, like, Felicio, like, 45 minutes a game. Like, I'm not playing Zach LaVine in 5 regular season games to finish this dumb season. Like, not a chance. Like, I'm assuming they could, I don't know if they could just, like, make up injuries. Like, I don't know if they can just kind of BS a way around it to at least, so they at least get paid still. But, like, I wouldn't want to, like, I know these guys probably do want to play just because, I mean, they love playing basketball. But, like, if I was anybody, like, if you're, like, the Warriors, like, I don't want Steph Curry coming back and playing, and or Draymond Green playing in these games. Like, not a chance. It's like, I wonder if that's why they're, like, they're considering these other, like, playoff plus and, like, play and stuff. So, like, there's an incentive. But they've already played 80% of the season. Like, again, you played that much of the season. You've had, you got all the playoffs are basically set. Just, like, if you can still kind of have a somewhat normal champion. I know there's people will talk about asterisks and stuff, but you can still kind of have a normal playoffs, a normal champion, but you've played all the season, like, you can kind of still kind of do it right. I know you talked about how they want to, like, they've been talking about playing tournament stuff anyways and, like, using it for the future. I mean, maybe, sure, why not? But, like, I don't know, like, I'm ready for this bowl season to be officially done for sure. So, like, I just hope they go back to the playoffs. But I know guys would like some games. Like, you mentioned preseason, like, they probably could use some games to get warmed back up. They're gonna have this training camp because I'm worried about injuries too. Like, set aside the coronavirus health stuff, like, these guys coming back from all this time off, I know some guys have been working out a lot and all that kind of stuff, but, like, I feel like I worry about injuries, especially if they're gonna try to condense games and the schedule. Like, we'll see. There's, again, like you said, there's just so many variables, and it'll be really, really interesting to see what they decide on and how they react to stuff that happens when they come back, assuming they do come back.
It sure seems like they're going to do everything they can to come back, though. Like, the fact that we already have a host with Disney World, and we have, like, sort of a rough timeline, and there's, like we said, still some things to sort out, but the league's going to try to do this, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Anything else? Any other final thoughts? I think we're good here.
I think we're good, too.
All right. Awesome. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. It's been finally a beautiful weekend here in Chicago. It's been really nice. I know it did rain. There were some storms yesterday, but for the most part, yesterday was great. Today is beautiful. So that's been really nice. We'll obviously be on the lookout for news coming out for the season. If there's any other Bulls news, if anything happens, we will be here to talk to you guys about that in the coming weeks. But for this week, as always, shout out to Bet Online, shout out to Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird and the new podcast they have, A Touch More. It's great. Please go listen to that. For us, Cash Considerations, please rate and review us, give us 5 stars. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all those places. Wherever you listen to your pods, please do give us that feedback. So for Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast, it's been Jason and Ricky. Happy Memorial Day, guys. Take it easy.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.